I've got two questions. I think I know the answer. I think I know the answer to the first one. I'd like you just to confirm, because I think in two respects, when you argue for leaderless unions and for unions that are not affiliated to reformative parties, I agree with those, because I think having unions of leaders and having unions affiliated to Labour Party is bad for the workers, because I think it's bad for trade unionism. And having unions that are leaderless and unions that are not affiliated to the Labour Party will both make them more successful, which will benefit the working class, and also is more likely to encourage people to be more autonomous in their thinking, that they actually organise themselves, and therefore you can organise a future society without leaders and without bosses and without a ruling class. But I'm a bit unclear as whether you're advocating that we should seek to argue that the existing trade unions should go down that road, or whether we should organise unions who go down that road in opposition to the existing trade unions. But I'm just makes a bit more wanting it. I think I know the answer, but when I'm a bit more confused is when you're saying that we should advocate workplace organisations that should be mounting campaigns to occupy the workplaces and organise wildcat strikes. Well, in the absence of a majority of workers who are ready for a social revolution, where do you think these actions will lead to? What are workers going to be achieving in those actions if it's not just, you know, defending their immediate position or gaining a wage rise or a better working conditions at the time?
Okay, yeah, thanks. So in regards to your first question, should we organise new trade unions? I think in a way this is a kind of, it's just a kind of practical question. You know, we accept the proposition that what's needed is a class-wide trade union. It should be a leaderless trade union. It should be an international trade union, you know, one trade union for workers. It's a kind of question of do we work within Unite, for example, to try and turn Unite around so that it disaffiliates itself from the Labour Party, there's more power amongst membership and not to kind of parasite Leninists, you know, kind of run the whole thing. That's just kind of part of the question. It's not necessarily one I've really got the answer to. My inclination would be one of the problems, of course, is that, you know, when you start in a workplace, you know, you're a teacher, okay, the only union you've got is the National Union of Teachers. So it's kind of all very well saying, like, well, you know, each worker does this, but, you know, as an individual worker, you've just got the union that you've got. So I don't think that individual workers shouldn't be in the NUT. I think they should try to democratise the NUT and do all the things that I'm trying to transform the NUT if they can. But what might be the solution is some sort of like dual card thing, which is what the IWW advocate. You know, so you join the NUT, but you also join the IWW, and you also, you know, maybe use like the failures of the NUT or the leadership of the NUT or its affiliation to the Labour Party to kind of encourage workers in your workplace to join the IWW. And when you have enough workers that are prepared to join the IWW, you discard the NUT altogether. Or it might be that you kind of manage to transform the NUT in such a way where it can kind of join the IWW and disaffiliate from the Labour Party. That might be possible. You know, it's a practical question. I don't really have the answer. But yeah, I mean, it strikes me am I right in thinking it's a question of practice and not really a principle. And then your second question is, should workers occupy their workplaces? And I suppose what you're trying to kind of tease out here is, am I kind of advocating a sort of anarcho-syndicalist proposition here? Well, in a way, I think I probably am, yeah. Because I think I'm saying that, I mean, you're right, and I think it's another practical question that a lot of workers might be quite screwed if they start trying to do this, you know. If you walk in, you know, let's say a fish factory down Hesel Road in Hull decides, right, we're going to take over the fish factory and we're going to... We're gonna own it all ourselves. There's lots of practical questions. For a start, you know, are you kind of trying to abolish money in this, or are you kind of setting up as a workers' co-op, or what are you going to do when the cops come around? You know, this is all true, and these are big holes in the kind of anarcho-syndicalist idea. And I think that's why everything that the SPGB advocates is good. But the question is whether workers should kind of do it anyway, and kind of maybe lose the battle, but win the war by doing this kind of thing. You know, should we as workers advocate for this, advocate for the most radical option in order to kind of radicalise the working class, in order to make the most kind of extreme demands. And in doing so, we kind of like, actually, in a weird way, put ourselves in a better bargaining position against the capital class anyway. You know, if you're a boss is going to be take a workplace much more seriously, they're saying, ultimately, we want to get rid of you. So you better play nice, or we're gonna, you know, rather than just saying like, oh, can we just get a kind of a better pay? You know, I think it puts workers, it just from a practical point of view, in a better position. And I also, yeah, I think that ultimately, in doing forms of direct action like wildcat strikes, and yeah, and like occupying workplaces, it can serve to radicalise workers, and it can also serve to kind of, yeah, to denormalise capitalism, to make it so that capitalism. The rules of capitalism, that the capital class own the means of production and the workers don't. And these are the rules, of course. You know, this is the reason socialists criticise trade unions, is because trade unions accept this basic proposition. You know, trade unions exist to accept this proposition that it's the capital class own and the workers sell their labour and it's just a negotiating position. But that doesn't mean that that's all what trade unions can or should be. And I think that we should consider, advocating trade unions to be more than that. But I accept that there's a lot of practical problems with, you know, just suddenly occupying your own workplace.
I was going to ask a question that and I think you've already answered it, by the way, that when you were in that particular position where you were telling the people, your fellow workers, to join the union, you weren't actually asking to join the IBWW, you were actually asking to join a union that was actually negotiating for that particular group of workers. And that's really the whole point about the situation if you're going to start talking about unions in the first place, because I have experience in a trade union. I joined a trade union when I just come up for 15, and I'm still in a trade union yet. But I've been through different trade unions in the process. I used to the Scottish Painters, then it became Scottish Painters and the Woodworkers in England, then it became eventually the UKIP, and of course UCAS is a situation I knew where they're paying off some of the particular delegates because the money's right down because the union membership's right down and that type of thing. But my experience anyway in trade unions is that you're limited about what you can do anyway just by dealing with the actual agreements as they arrive. And there's listen, you never ever negotiated wages because the wages in the development industry were always negotiated higher up. What you got was the result of it, you know. And of course, you also got the result of discussions that took place higher up and that was your working conditions and so on. And so most of your work in that particular area could only take place, obviously, with what was in the rule book. Because if you're going to have a case for anybody, you could only apply to that particular agreement and either argue that they're breaking it and so on, and you either won or lost based on that particular proposition. So, and again, sort of building up a union, the situation at the moment, in a lot of situations, is that, and it happened when I was working as well, because I was eventually one of them took my redundancy. When a situation came along with redundant, workers were quite happy to get out with, as long as you've got a package that's going to suit them. And that's one of the situations in just now. But you have a lot of trade unions, there were like 2 million members or something like that, but they've amalgamated more and more different groups of workers into it. I know this gets near this idea of yourself about an international work, you know, the workers, because that's basically what we are, a group of workers. And we obviously just need a union that's going to fight in the sense of everything that they need. But the situation is moving at the moment. The unions are getting bigger, but and you've already hinted on it yourself about where you have this level of trade unionists who deal with all types of workers because they're taking all types of workers in now into their union. You know. So they're already ahead of yourself, you know, the idea of having all the workers. They're ahead of you in that sense. They're actually drawing all the workers in just now and then negotiating for all the workers. So really, where is the fight going to take place? Is it going to take place actually in the union, or is it going to take place outside the union, in the sense where union workers is going to say, wait a minute, this is we have a structure here. You know, that obviously, you know, because we can't get into it, because we can't get past this level. So, you know, it's going to be very difficult in that sense. How do you break this? They are at the top, they are already in this level that you're looking for, but they've got it. So I don't see how you could do it any more than do it the way we do it in arguing the socialist case. That we have to argue it as a socialist case point that we can have a better world, but at the same time, we can only point out that a trade union job is just merely to settle a wage for you, and that's what we have to get rid of. As a wage,
yeah,
a different society without wages.
Do you want to answer that? I'm getting another question.
I agree. Yeah, I agree with everything you said about the analysis of the situation of unions as they stand and the problems in trying to do what I'm doing. Maybe I'm missing the point. But is it what would be the question there then? What would be?
Well, I was a wee bit doubtful. First, you obviously were answering it in the sense that you were saying you were going to build a stupid this sort of IWW, but I don't see that building an IWW is going to be, not I'm against getting that particular object that you're talking about, but I don't think they're going to get it that way, because I kind of see you breaking the system where you can only get your complaint through any particular union. The point I was trying to make was that, the obvious answer, if you were trying to solve a problem just now at local level, you can only do it through the group who have access to the employers, you know, and with the agreements and so on with these employers. And that, so therefore, you can only reinforce that particular group by getting more of them into it. Because you can only make the union stronger by bringing more folk in. But that's why I'm saying that you're not really going to break anybody away. Because if they're going to get their answers that way, that's where they'll go.
Yeah, sure, yeah, yeah. Well, I think I take your point, but I think one of the arguments against that is that unions as they stand are kind of just really lacking, even from the basic job that they're supposed to do, right? Of just, you know, the fair days, pay for fair days work kind of stuff. And even on that level, I think unions are really lacking. They're lacking because there's all sorts of deals that go on with the union bosses and the workplace. So the workplace often don't agree on. There's all sorts of instances of the workplace of the union membership being against the leadership of the union, because the union leadership kind of agreed to something that the workplace then say, oh, hold on a minute, this isn't what we agreed to. And they're also affiliates of the Labour Party, and the Labour Party, every time it comes into power, whether it's Tony Blair or whether, you know, Jeremy Corbyn gets into power, it's going to have to do what capitalist parties have to do, and that's screw over the working class, you know. And so my hope is that in the kind of process of this happening, within the trade union movement, we can kind of persuade workers that either, yeah, we need to transform these kind of trade unions like Unite that are affiliate to bourgeois political parties and stop that happening and take back power into the kind of grassroots trade unions, or yeah, we need to form the IWW. I think if the trade unions prove themselves not to be malleable in this respect, and if we can get workers, you know, this is why I still believe in the role of the SPGB in terms of getting workers to just demand more than this. If we can get workers to demand more than this, and then trade unions like Unite can prove to be unmalleable, then I think we will see a situation in which workers leave and form the IWW or, you know, get into other organisations. But yeah, I mean, I admit that it's a problem. Yeah. But, you know, I know it's true, yeah, but it's you know, there's all sorts of practical questions just for the Socialist Party, and there's all sorts of practical questions for the sort of thing that I'm advocating as well. And yeah, it's an uphill battle.
Thanks, Johnny.
Cheers.
I really enjoyed that. Yeah. Like you, I've come across members of the party who are in Camp 1. I've been horrified to hear anti-trade union rhetoric from members of a supposedly Socialist Party. So I'm definitely in Camp 2. I'm emerging into Camp 3 with you, Johnny. I wanted to say that as a good outset.
That's good to hear.
What else? I've got a few points to make, and there'll be a question for you as well. I'm a member of the CWU, Communications Workers Union, but I also joined the IWW in early 2013, so I'm paying two lots of trade union subscriptions. I actually did a talk on trade unions at the West London branch in 2013, and I actually brought along the IWW membership book, the rule book, and when I got the membership book, I was actually surprised. Well, I'm not sure I was surprised, because I'd obviously done the research first, and there's quoting from Marx at the end of Value, Price and Profit. And I thought, hang on a minute, this is exactly what we say in our declaration, well, in our declaration, but it's what we stand for, the abolition of the wage system.
Mm.
So I wanted to mention that. So yeah, so I mentioned the IWW, and I understand the social criticism of the IWW that is based on sectional interests of the society and not society as a whole. I also understand that trade unions fail when they collaborate with governments or collaborate with the political parties, i.e. trade unions and the Labour government in the 60s and 70s, you know, failing in their actual duty by allying themselves with a bourgeois government.
Mm.
And also the political Labour to the Labour Party don't support that at all as a member of the Socialist Party of Great Britain. And what it's led me to think in recent years is like, well, if the SPGB is a political party, we should accept a political Labour from members of the IWW because, I'd say, the rule book says the same as like what we believe in as well. One other thing, I mean, Lenin said that trade union consciousness was the only level that the working class could actually reach. Now, with the attacks on trade unions in the 80s, 90s, and this year already, Sajid Javid is already saying that there's going to be further restrictions. I mean, what do you think? I mean, the working class aren't even going to be able to develop trade union consciousness because trade unions will become almost illegal. Again, yeah, thanks, Johnny. I enjoyed your talk. Any comments?
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, well, for start, I mean, yeah, I mean, if I think if the IWW wanted to start paying political dues to the SPGB, that would be a good thing. Yeah, of course. I mean, obviously, we've got a real fight on our hands there, kind of like, you know, the battle over ideas, really, with the anarchists in terms of, you know, what to actually do about the state ultimately, and persuading them that there is a need for a political element to this. You know, there will ultimately be the need to deal with the state in some sort of way, and that you know the best way of doing that is by sending delegates to parliament. Yeah, I mean we can have that discourse, and I think we can have that discourse with anarchists best by joining the IWW and by saying, you know, like, yeah, there's some really good things about the IWW. You're right, there's flaws in the IWW, other flaws in the IWW in terms of sort of sectional interests, but the IWW is a pretty good starting point, I think. And by joining the IWW, we can kind of, you know, we can have that discourse as kind of fellow workers, as fellow members of the same trade union, and say, well, look, you know, you've still got this question of what you're going to do about the state. Yeah, so I agree with that. And in terms of, what's the other stuff to do with...
level of consciousness.
So in terms of Lenin, I mean, yeah, well, obviously I don't subscribe to Lenin's opinion that workers can only achieve socialist consciousness. I think, yeah, but you don't either, so I'll keep good to that. Yeah, and you also mentioned about the, you know, trade unionism just becoming illegal. Well, I think this can only be a good thing for organisations like the IWW. You know, you see all the time. You know, the problem with the mainstream trade unions is that they're affiliated to the Labour Party. The Labour Party want to be a kind of respectable party, you know, respectable kind of face to Middle England, kind of whatever Middle England's supposed to be, just a section of the working class that don't realise they're the working class really. But anyway, you know. So whenever it comes to, you know, when it comes to the kind of the Tory measures against trade unions, the Labour Party are going to basically be saying, don't break the law, I think. And they're going to go down that road. Or they're going to be saying, maybe do break the law, but vote for us and we'll sort things out for you when we get in power, which is, again, untrue. So I think, you know, it's a kind of, in a weird way, what's going on with the Tory party is a good thing for the sort of activity that I want to see amongst the working class, because... It'll basically mean that there isn't a legal option anymore. But I said that when the cameras stopped rolling. Might have a chance of getting into America. Yeah, so is that right? So have I responded to all that? Yeah. Okay.
Do you want to get that bit in?
Oh, no. Really?
Someone at the back then knew.
So just three quick points. First is, I think the most important thing is that we as a socialist party say that we're not going to try and tell trade unionists or any other workers how to organise their own struggle. And we make it very clear that we're not going to try and take over unions or form any organisational links or do anything as a party. That the only effect we will have on unions as a party is hopefully to fill them with socialists as we persuade people to become socialists. Because there's nothing that aggravates people more then Toy Town Trots taking over the union branch and trying to use its funds to pay the groceries for their local demonstration squad or whatever it is that they're trying to do this week, Molly. You know, and also to try and take over union branches so that, because if your branch secretary is then obliged under discipline of that organisation to do what it says. The second point I'd make is that the job of trade unions fundamentally is to win. I think that's the most important thing, and if we, as far as I can see, we only strike when we're losing. I'd much rather win the pay rise without a strike, without a fight, and get that and protect and promote our members' interests than, again, the Tory Town Trots who want us to strike at the top of a hat over nothing, always without regard of any tactics, considerations, or anything else. They're just in love with strikes and action for its own sake, and that is profoundly damaging, I think. And something else that we, personally, I argue against in my union. And the third point is that trade unions at the present moment are characterised very largely by a standing pool of 1.5 million unemployed that hasn't gone away since 1973. And if you have any analysis, it's not about whether who's in charge of the unions, it's not about that they're selling us out, it's that that's the fundamental fact that they're negotiating up against. There's this huge pool of unemployment, and ultimately that means that they have to back down and agree a deal at some point. As long as that's going on, that's going to define what our trade unions do and why they look so quiescent.
I'll respond to that. In terms of the question of taking over, I mean, yeah, I definitely take your point, and I know, you're right, it pisses off people a lot when Trotskyists come in and try and sort of, rule the unions for them. But I don't think as socialists or as Democrats we necessarily have to take that approach. I think it's possible to join a trade union as a socialist and to persuade trade unions and trade union members to take on more radical... a more radical form of organisation that brings democracy back to unions and back to the working class. I don't think that is in any way the same thing as this kind of Trotskyist thing of trying to take over unions. Personally, I was just going to respond to all the points. So number two. She's talking about kind of like winning and these gains. Well, I think the question is really win in what way. And maybe here, I mean, I might be more of a Trotskyist than a lot of people in the party because, oh God, I never thought I'd say that. you're right. You know, like in a way, I suppose the role. If you define a trade union as being an organisation which negotiates on behalf of its members for a better wage, a better cut of the cake, then that's what they should be winning to do. But if you have an analysis of trade unions as I do, that trade unions can have a transformative power, that is to say that they can transform themselves into something else and ultimately play a part in transforming society, and the question of how one actually wins or what counts as a win becomes a slightly different one. You know, it might be that the what I'm advocating means that some capitalists turn around and say, right, well, that's it, I'm kicking out the lot of you, you've occupied your workplace or you've gone on wildcat strike, you know, and that's it. But it might be that ultimately leads to winning for the working class, because you know it denormalizes capitalism. It brings into stark contrast the fact that the capital class do have all the power, and that ultimately we're going to have to get rid of the capitalist class. And so I think as socialists we should be careful about not kind of going down this route of saying like, you know, the trade unions have to be practical, but by practical it really just means kind of like sort of play the game by the capitalist class's rules and stay to this position of just kind of like, right, we'll negotiate and we'll come up with a fair day's wage. I think trade unions should obviously get as good a wage as they possibly can for their workers, but it might be that what I'm advocating is that workers the trade unions have to do things a lot more radical than that, lose a few battles in doing so, but ultimately play a part in winning the final war, which is, you know, the working class seizing the means of production and abolishing class structure, you know, abolishing capitalism. And then your question of unemployment, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's true. It's a bad situation for trade unions. The only thing I can think to do, I mean, and I think this is part of the reason why. And you're right, Comrade here made the point that, you know, the trade unions kind of do that to some extent already. You know, Unite has like a community branch, for example, that tried to get unemployed people in the union and stuff. I think Unite are right for doing that. But I think that there's still a massive load of work that needs to be done in organisations like Unite in terms of democratising them and having them run by their members. And if we could have, you know, if every unemployed person could be part of a kind of claimants union branch of this big union that I'm talking about, then that would be the best situation, I think, to, have a sense of mutual solidarity between employed workers and unemployed workers. Because at the moment, you know, like, a lot of employed workers obviously are kind of... you know, might have a really bad attitude towards unemployed people, as they do, you know, so they think that unemployed people are the kind of parasites and the enemy, which of course we know is a load of rubbish. You know, we know who the real parasites are, but that's a problem, you know, that you know, so employed people might think, well, stuff you, you know, if a job opportunity comes up, of course I'm going to take your job, I don't care what your union says. But if we start building a kind of class-wide trade union, then we're actually in a better position to show solidarity between the unemployed section of the working class and the employed section of the working class. So just in terms of a practical question, if you know, as you say, the trade union's getting a better price for workers within capitalism, I think there's a lot of reason why the kind of class-wide trade union model is something that we should advocate.
There was someone who put up their hand when Bill put his hand up. Was there someone in the centre wanted to speak? Because I know that Vincent's hand went up afterwards. So if there's no one there, Vincent, then it's at the back. I did notice you.
I think everybody here would agree with the opinion that as socialists, when we get to a situation in which the working class become more aware of what capitalism is all about, and also become more aware of an alternative, then political activity is the key activity. And through an organisation such as the World Socialist Movement, along the revolutionary lines that we're advocating, that is where, as far as I can see, the real social transformation and abolition of capitalism, bringing us to socialism, will come about. But having said that, obviously trade unions are important, as we've been saying today. And as people become more and more discontent with their lot under capitalism and realise the huge improvement or transformation that socialism will bring about, they're not, as I think we've already said, they're not going to be prepared to wait for 5 years for another general election. And there's going to be intense political activity which will or probably transform the trade unions hugely compared with what they're like today. Now, whether workers, these revolutionary-minded workers, eventually becoming a majority or approaching a level of majority, whether they will seek to transform the existing trade unions that we have now, and ignoring the reformist demands of their leaders and things like that, and taking over committees, whether they'll do it that way, or whether they'll do it through a single union type of organisation like the IWW, will clearly be up to the people at the time who democratically size up the situation. So obviously we can't really make hard and fast rules. All I'm really saying is that, yeah, there's nothing wrong and everything right in having revolutionary-minded trade. Well, unions, I don't know, this trade is connected with capitalism, isn't it? Why not just say, for our purposes, unions?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Unions of workers. Yeah, let them go that way, but be under no illusion about the power of the state, as long as the workers are not in the are still in the majority. But the important thing for the change is political action.
Okay. So.
Oh, sorry.
Can I just respond to that? I think this is what I'm trying to kind of critique about the SPGB thinking on this. It's not necessarily all of the SPGB thinking, but you know, there's this kind of idea, and you kind of, the way you described it then, it sort of implies that there's kind of this afterthought that happens. So you have the kind of like the political thing that happens, and then there's this kind of this sort of, you know, yeah, and of course, you know, when the political thing starts to happen, there will also be this this kind of change in the trade unions. But that's the kind of thing that I'm trying to question, because I think that we need to approach it more kind of sort of dialectically or reciprocally than that, and say that, yeah, sure, okay, so as socialist ideas develop, then unions will become more class-wide, will become more leaderless, will be more radical in their demands and all of these things. But it works the other way. The more that we can encourage unions to become leaderless and to become class-wide and to become radical in their demands, the more that we'll get socialist consciousness. And that there's this kind of to-ing and fro-ing between the two. And that's what I'm kind of trying to argue for, you know, and that there's two sides to the coin that need to be kind of thought about here. And that there's not just kind of like that, yeah, you know, this kind of afterthought, you know, come, you know, once we've got 51% of the population that are socialist, and of course trade unions are going to change. It's that part of the process of getting to the 51% of socialists, or, you know, then hopefully 80% or 99% of socialists is, you know, in the population, is through unions. You know, it's a dialectical thing. So, yeah.
From the back.
Yeah, I hate to say it, but the problem is, you have to ask yourself, are we the Red Conspiracy Party?
And you're asking to speak up.
If you want to have.
Speak up a bit, please.
You have to ask yourself, are we the Red Conspiracy Party?
Mm.
The reason I say this is, if you want a political union, it's very simple. You have a non-political union that is engaged in a workplace struggle, and you leave it that way. All of the members of that union can go away, sit around, have a pint, have a political discussion, and agree either to join the same party or otherwise to have the same political programme. And then, through that non-political format, all of those members would be expressing those kinds of demands. That is fine. We're great with that. However, if you try and make the union one where, instead of being a non-political union that could be used in that way, you're trying to put in either specific programs, or you're trying to create a manner whereby what we would consider radicalized workers would be able to direct the activities of that trade union in a what we call a radicalized manner, what you've actually done is exactly what the Trots tried to do to every single union, which is to take it over and to use the resources and the time of those members to those members' own detriment. Those members are not stupid. They know what's going on, and they know that basically their dues are going on paying for someone else, to either the time of someone who's just going to work on Trotskyism, or the actual resources that they buy themselves, you know, paper and pens and things, are going towards other people's resources. So everyone turns around and says, why join a union? It's full of Trots like money. Yeah. So instead of that, what we say is that you can have a political union, but you do it honestly. You know, you say, just like, if it's just Unison, yeah, and I managed to persuade everyone in our branch of Unison that they should be sort of like, you know, members of the Socialist Party of Great Britain and pursue our cause or whatever, then we can go off in good heart and we can do whatever it is, even if it is something that, you know, is not necessarily what would be good for us in the workplace struggle. Maybe we're on a strike to doomsday and we're doing it for principle or something like that. At least we have done it honestly, because we've engaged in that particular activity knowing everyone's position and knowing that no one's trying to leave anyone about. But unions aren't like that. Certainly above the branch level, what you have is you have tools for leadership of the organisation, and those are being fought over by either conservative, like if you're almost like right-wing Labour type trade union people, and the Trots coming along, and you just have that. We need to avoid doing that. We need to be straight with our own facts.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. I don't know whether what you thought I would disagree with about that. Because, for start, what I'm talking about is democracy. And I think one of the hallmarks of democracy is honesty. You know, is that we kind of like, you know, we do it. I mean, because there's some stuff that the Trots might be doing that they might actually be doing right, okay, anyway. It might be that the Trots are right and that we're wrong, that the trade unions can be transformative, okay. But I don't agree with the kind of Trotskyist kind of conspiracy stuff of just kind of, you know, like, sort of, trying to sort of infiltrate a union and then do it for themselves. That's based on the kind of hierarchical model of thinking, model of working. What we in the SPGB have in common with organisations like the IWW is that we don't believe in that sort of thing, is that we believe in democracy. And I think part of democracy is kind of honesty, is that we go in and we talk as kind of equals on a horizontal level to our fellow workers, and we say, look, this is a position we're in. This is what we think is that we need to take power back from those people. You know, because nothing's going to take power back from the Trotskyists better than us getting rid of the concept of leadership in trade unions, of having withdrawable delegates, of having all this sort of stuff that we organise in our own party. I think we should be advocating to transpose kind of more explicitly into the trade union movement. And we should, yeah, we should be honest about why we want that. We should say, because, you know, we think that it's going to help to build a moneyless, stateless society. And they might think you're a bit nuts, but they're going to think we're nuts anyway, you know, and we're going to have to talk to them. And I think that one of the ways that we could do that is, yeah.
So all you're saying is that we should join trade unions and have political discussions when we're there.
Well, no. I'm saying that trade unions should, we should play a part in transforming the trade union movement into a class-wide trade union movement, into a leaderless organisation. And it seems to me like you're saying that that's kind of Trotskyism, but to me it's the absolute opposite of Trotskyism. If what we're talking about is a class-wide trade unionism, a leaderless organisation, full democracy amongst all the members, and you know, a kind of big, like, you know, piss off to the leaders, then whether the leaders are conservative Labour Party types or whether they're, you know, god-awful Trotskyist authoritarians, either way, that's you know, that we get rid of them. The best way I would say of getting rid of them, the best way of dealing with bad leaders, and the Socialist Party, we say this all the time anyway, the best way of dealing with bad leaders is just to not have any leaders at all. You know, you can't, you know, if you have a structure in the union in which people kind of can take power, then yeah, you're always going to be at the kind of whim of Trotskyists. And I'm certainly not advocating that members of the SPGB should try and apply for positions of leadership in the union. I'm just saying that as members of the SPGB, we should seriously consider democratising trade unions, and not just democratising them because it puts them in a better bargaining position and because it's better for the working class within capitalism and all of that sort of stuff, which I think a lot of people in the party do, but also because I think that ultimately it can have a transformative power. We disagree, yeah.